Thank you for your patience. Today, I just wanted to say it's so good for Rory and Wendy to just make a priority to be back in the house. Like, they could have slept in today. But they're like, we don't want to miss what the Lord's doing. So I just wanted to honor Rory and Wendy for just putting honor on the house. And can you feel that honor that's actually on us gathering? The Lord's in the midst of us. He's doing amazing things. Today, I want to talk to us a little bit from the word around the Hebrew word for nail. I love that the communion table is still out, so whoever forgot to take them, you get a tick. Yeah, there we go. Just one, Brian. You can hold the other one through the service. I've got three props here today. I've got a big fat hammer, and I've got a 10 peg. You say, that's a big 10 peg, it's a garden peg. Well, today it's representing a peg, 10 peg. And I've also got up here today a memorial to the 800 light horsemen for the charge of Bathsheba. And I also have in my hand a nail, which we're going to talk about today. So everyone say, he nailed it. So I'll leave that there. So the Hebrew word for tent peg or nail is the Hebrew word vav. Everyone say vav. It's a cool word. V-A-V, vav. It is the sixth letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and it's the representation of man. We know that, right? Six equals man. 666 equals man. Rory, you're on fire and you're tired. Wait till you get some sleep. Man. Mark of the Beast. Revelations talks about 666. But growing up, I used to be afraid of this number because someone let me watch a movie called You'd Be Left Behind or something. Worst movie ever in the world. Totally full of fear, completely defeated eschatology, pretty much ostrich. Bury your head, run for the hills. We're going to all get killed, so we might as well just die anyway. Anyway, I watched that as a kid growing up, about 8 or 9. I think I had about 7 sleepless nights. Don't ever show your kids that. It is wrong. It is completely wrong. Shoot me afterwards. I was so afraid of the number 6, similar to other people have suspicions around other numbers. I had this thing around 6. It was evil. And I was swimming one day. And when I swim, I like to keep track of my numbers, right? Bob, you want to know. You probably have a watch to do it when you're swimming. But, you know, lap number 1, lap number 2, lap. And when I would do my laps, I would meditate on that number. Sounds simple, but that's what I would do. 1, and I would swim and I'd say, the Lord your God is the Lord alone. So I would just go into, he became, you know, he was the one that went in for me. I would just chill out on 1 for 50 meters, take my mind off and put my mind on him. And I would always get to number 6 and I would be like, a whole lap, I just didn't know what to do. I'm like, I can't connect with this number. One day I was swimming and Jesus says to me in the pool, because he talks to me in the pool, he says, I became your number 6 on the cross. Why are you so worried about the number 6? I became your 6. And I saw, as soon as he said that, I remember my son Levi, who's playing a lot of games. They're not like Pac-Man games. They're more like shooting games. And I'd hear this, you know, watch your six, watch my six, watch your six. Now, those who understand army terminology, what does that mean? Watch your back. I suddenly found I had a new favorite number. Because he became a number six for me so that I didn't have to become sin anymore. He became sin. He became our sin in order that we could move to seven. So the number six is the Hebrew number for man, but it is the Hebrew letter for Vav. I want you to turn in your Bible to Psalm 119, and I'm going to show you something that you might never have known. There's probably some astute people here that will be like, mm-hmm. But I want you to turn in Psalm 119 to verse 41. And at the top of verse 41, I want you to see what is written there. Gee, do you want a lolly or something? I just want you to get to it. Young people, so good to see you bringing your Bible to church. So good to see you bringing your Bible to. I know, Michael, it's there in electronic version. Is it actually there, though? Can you see something that says? What's it say? Yeah, next to it. No. What's the paper version beside you? Sam's still getting there. What's it got there? W-A-W, which is wow. Wow, but it's the Hebrew word for vav. Can you see a little symbol? Can you see a little symbol in there? Yep, that's what I'm talking about. What's it look like? Looks like one of these. Okay, have you got it? You got it, all right. So Psalm 119, in fact, at every different chunk and portion goes through the whole Hebrew alphabet, and it's a connection. It's a crazy cool connection. Aleph, Bet, A, B, and it goes through the letter. The fifth one is He, which is breath. He, Abraham. Abram becomes Abraham. The breath, that's number five. Number six is what we're talking about today. Have you got it? All right. So what does this Hebrew symbol mean? And this is where I'm feeling the Lord wants to speak to us today. The Hebrew word vav means to drive a stake into the ground. Drive a stake into the ground. Take a slender, solid object and drive it in. It means to be driven in. It has another connotation to secure something, to be established. If you were to nail a timber cladding to the wall, it becomes secured to something. Nails secure in the building context. In a heavenly context, this Hebrew word vav means to take what is from heaven and connect it to earth. So the actual mystery meaning was, where it came from was the islet on the mosaic tabernacle, Moses' tabernacle, and it was the piece of hook that would go through the islet to secure the tent to the dwelling. So the word vav means to connect, secure, to establish something, to pierce something through in order to secure it. The vav. God, this is a part of God's nature. It's how he set up the order of things. If you want to build something, you have to follow the principles of building. God has set things up in the order of the world. And the vav is an important part of creation. And we can see that Jesus himself, which we're going to talk about today, becomes one of so many things, but he becomes the vav from heaven to bring things from heaven to earth to secure them together in himself. And he's dangling between heaven and earth while he's doing that. He's literally on the cross. He's what? It literally manifests with nails pierced through skin into timber. So Jesus is the Vav, but he was Vavved. I want you to get that. He is the Vav, but he was Vavved for us. So there's so many things going on. It's like, man, he fulfills like so much prophecy. And then if we could only see in the spirit what was really going on when Jesus said, I am the door. And then he literally opens something up, right? If you're a door, what does a door do? Well, it just closes or it opens. What is Jesus opening up for us? He's doing it through this Vav. He's doing it through this Vav. Everyone take out your diary. That's probably electronic. Mike, you got your diary? I want you to go to the 31st of October. Guess what day this day is? It's the nailing day. So what happened in 1517? A young man by the name of Martin Luther had a revelation and saw through the religious system of the day. It was called the Dark Ages. I think the last couple of years will be known as the dumb years. That humanity went to such levels of dumbness. They'll look back and they'll say, really? Anyway, I'm not talking about that era. I'm talking about the Dark Ages, a massive chunk of time, which was exactly what it was. Dark. There was no light. Church was dark. Buildings were dark. Everything was dark. Everyone wore black. Everyone was just dark. And then Martin Luther has an encounter with light, with God. Gets a revelation. I don't need to pay money at church to get saved. Can you imagine that? Pastor Aaron, Pastor Wendy at the front door with the offering bucket saying, would you like to go to heaven? That'll be $5.50 plus GST. That was what was happening in God's church. With a lot of other things going on. But essentially, you could buy your way to heaven. Can I get an amen from many theologians? Am I doing justice here? And so Martin Luther takes a nail and a hammer and goes to the door of the Wittenberg Cathedral and nails 95 declarations of freedom. And when he took that hammer and he nailed, boom, 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 he sparked the Reformation. He sparked the revelation that overturned the Dark Ages, that preceded what was called the Renaissance era, also known as the Enlightenment. So from darkness to light, what did the Vav on the door do? It broke through the veil of darkness. October 31, have you got your diary out? I want you to write down Nailing Day. Nailing Day. Nailing Day. Because I'm going to give you some homework, and you've got how many days? Is it the 22nd today? 9 days. Andrew, come up here. Come up here. Just do a quick walking billboard. Just want you to do a quick face. Everybody, walk past. Okay, just keep walking like this. Keep walking. Come across, bro. Yep, walking billboard. Brought to you by keep going this way. And thank you very much for that advertisement. Nailed it. Nailed it. So by the end of the service today, we're going to start up a new custom at River of Life. Well, Rivers Apostolic Center. And that is we're going to give each other high fives. Now, we're not turning American because we're very much Australian. But I want us to begin to do something together where we enact a power of agreement to say he nailed it. And we're going to start high-fiving each other more and more. We can come up with our own catchphrase. Everyone can call us. We look like NBA college basketball people. But I want us to begin to do a solid high-five, because in that action, we're going to prophetically live out the declarations that we're going to begin to attach to a vav, which on the 31st of October, you're going to drive into the ground. You're like, what do you mean? Doesn't that sound like fun? Wouldn't you like to get some kind of peg and some kind of hammer and nail it somewhere? All right, come on. This is my world. I live in this prophetic space. Too bad you're going to do it. You can do it. Just say it. We can do it. Now, I want you to high-five. Now, this is what I'm going to set up the rules for this high-fiving. No kind of limp-wristed kind of like, because out of the overflow of the heart, right? You've got to attach, as Pastor Aaron was saying, faith. Hans was saying, let's give faith. We're going to high-five we're going to not do it weakly. We're going to do it with a strength. And my son was trying to teach me how to dap. And he's like, you got to get that pop. You got to get that. So turn to your neighbor and give them a solid high five. Nailed it. Nailed it. I want to give you something tangible today. So Martin Luther on the 31st of October nails a vav into the wooden door of Wittenberg. Settle down, you guys. That's enough. You got that? You got it. The Wittenberg experience, that vav was so powerful that it was the spark that lit the tinder and the dryness through Europe. At the same time, there is a guy who's been inspired by the Lord to put the word into writing for the first time. That press, who knows what it was called? So the wood on the door of Wittenberg released the word to flow out of Wittenberg, and it was printed. The word became flesh, and it dwelt among men. For the first time, you could actually read the Bible, because you had to only have the priest could only read it, because it was in a language you didn't even understand. You would go to church, pay $5.50, and listen to a guy you can't even understand. And hopefully, you were made holy. Man, bad deal. So the Reformation, somebody put it down and showed me within 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, how quick that fire spread. Amazing revival. An amazing move of God that just didn't bring a revival, it brought a reformation. It changed society. It put the word into the hands of every, and it was like, all you have to do is believe. What was that verse in Romans? It was like, faith. The just shall live by faith. Such one verse. What would it look like if we saw something like that coming out of Australia? What if some of us just started to get on this and those things that we're wanting to nail for this season, for this time, for this generation, for future generations? Young people, you and your future generations, what do you want to nail in God? What do you want to nail in the Spirit? What things do you want to see released through the earth? All right, have you still got your diary out? Have you written down nailing day? Now, under that, I want you to write down something else. It is charge day. Charge your beers. I mean, charge towards Beersheba. Now, if you've been in this church any matter of time, we have celebrated the 31st of October, 1917. Do the maths from 1517 to 1917. What is that? It's not that hard. 1500 minus 1900. Is it a number? Very tentative. 400 years, thank you. There's 400 years between these two events. And what are they happening on the same day? Okay, come on. Is this a coincidence? How many years? 400 years. When God said to Abraham, your descendants will be in Egypt for a period of time. How many years? And when we get close to the end of the 400 years, and it says in the word, your word, it says, and on the day, at the end of 400 years, the children of Israel walked out, free slaves, being called into the promise of their father Abraham. Do you think God's in on 400 years or what? Ezekiel Crawford, when were you born, my friend? 2006. What happened on that day in 1606? Yeah. Well, he was Portuguese, right? But he did bless. And on what island? You see the second flag over? Vanuatu on Pentecost Island. 400 years before the day that Ezekiel was born. Are you getting this? A guy called Ferdinand de Quiros makes a proclamation, and we all know what that is when I say this. These are the great south lands of the... Ezekiel, you have a very amazing birth declaration over your life. You need to write on the soles of your feet. If you ever get a tattoo, and you probably never will, but you could start with Nico, and you could write under your feet, great south lands of the Holy Spirit. And everywhere you walk, my friend, why don't you remind the earth of that prophecy and say, in my day, we shall see that word come to pass. So what 400 years date from the 31st of October 2023 will your generations look back and say, well, great-great-granddad times 28 or great-great-grandma times 58 times nailed something for us. Is God waiting or is he looking for us to activate some of the things that he's put in place? Accident on purpose? Accidentally on purpose? Do you think it's an accident or it's on purpose? It's a bit of both, isn't it? But it's more about his purpose than it is about the accident. Woo! So, 31st of October, 1917, 800 Aussies and Kiwis, Aboriginals and Maoris, mixed bag of Anzacs who'd been training down at Southport on the Gold Coast, on the white sands of the Gold Coast, because it simulated the Palestinian environment, were training weeks after weeks with their horses, preparing to go to Palestine. They hand out leaflets about what their missions are going to, we're training you because you're going to be going into the biblical lands. And they're all going, hey, George, remember Sunday school, Samson and all that stuff? These guys get issued Bibles because they're in the training. That was what we did. These guys are flicking through in their tents at night. They're brushing up. They're reading Judges. They're reading, and they said, what was happening for these guys as they were training, preparing to go to the other side of the world, to Israel? They remembered their Sunday school stories. And they felt, and this is documented, it felt that they were a part of something biblical in going. They felt they were a part of a bigger plan. They called it the hand of providence was clearly upon us. Who's the hand of providence? It said that on those Gold Coast beaches, frequently there were lights appearing on the tent and around the tent. And they said it was as if we had guardian angels assigned to each one of us. won't go into it all, but essentially, months and months later, against all odds, 1,000 years of Turkish rule, Israel, not all of the armies of Napoleon, not all of the crusades sent from England could overturn the Turks, but 800 Aussies and Kiwis, with nothing left in their tank, completely resigned to the fact that they were going to die, said, what the heck, let's charge anyway. Get under the guns and reclaim the Well of Beersheba, which means the Well of the Oath, which was the oath of God and Abraham saying, see this land? It's vavd. It's a vavd land. And no matter who wants to come and take that land or whatever, at the end of the day, it belongs to God. It's a vav place. And so when those Aussies and Kiwis broke those lines and got under the guns, they freed the well. And when I was there in 2017 with my family at the 100th year anniversary, I was at the well. And I'm sitting there watching a dust reenactment across the plains of 800 grandsons and granddaughters all dressed up on horses riding across the plains towards the well. And I'm sitting there, a few tears rolling down my face. Just a few, yep. I mean, we're just behind me is the flipping well. Like, you can look down. There's a grate, so you can't fall in. But you can look down the well of Abraham. It's there. They're still drinking water from it. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and a Jewish man with ringlets comes right beside me. He's got his son, and I've got my son's daughter, and I look over, and he looks my age. I said, hi. He goes, hey, where are you from? I said, I'm from Australia. He said, oh, my name's Ben. I'm from Nazareth. Okay, I know that town. Oh, you do you? Yeah. I like studying the Bible, and I'm a Christian. And he goes, can I ask a very frank question, straight to it? Why are you here? And I said, I believe this is a very important time in history that we're remembering. And I feel connected to the land of Israel because Australia and New Zealand has helped the land get back. You know what? He gripped me. And he said, is that really why you're here? And he said, I can see you brought your whole family. I said, yep. And he said to me, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have what we have today. Man. I'm choking up. Like, trying to swallow down my heart. Just get back down there. And then he says, Mia and I had already had a talk, and we said, we would love to have a Jewish meal with a Jewish family. That would be like a bucket list, going to Israel. That'd be a bucket list. Ben says, would you honor me by bringing your family for Shabbat this Friday night in Nazareth? Oh, let me think about that. It's a clear no. Joking! Ah, yeah, we'll be there. An incredible moment. We then went from that celebration into the town of Beersheba, which is, you know, a couple of kilometers away. It's still desert. It's still dry. And there's still water. We go into the town for more celebrations, and all the dignitaries were there, and we were in the gravesides of the memorial to the Australian Light Horse. And the streets were lined with young Israelis who are taught from grade one, we need to thank the Australians and the Kiwis, the Anzacs, for what they did. For 1,000 years, we were oppressed, but they helped lift that oppression for us. And we walked the streets in freedom because of them. Suddenly, we're in this procession, and I'm just on the footpath, and we are lined with children of every school in the whole of southern Israel. And the children are cheering the Anzacs. And is that 800 light horsemen of grandsons and great-grandsons, and there was some Aboriginal fellas in there, man. I'm like saluting them. One of those fellas, his great-great-great-granddad slipped under the radar and got in. And they're walking down this procession, and I'm engulfed with the celebration of Israeli young people saying, thank you. So much honor. So much honor. I don't feel that in Australia for our fellas. I don't feel it. I felt it that day. I'm having goosebumps on my goosebumps on my goosebumps. So 31 October, you got it in your diary. Nail day, nail it day, and it's charge day. So I want you to do something from now and forever. Here's your challenge. When people say 31st of October is coming up, I want you to say, oh, I love that day. Oh, do you like Halloween, do you? Are you one of those Christians? Do you celebrate Halloween? Do you know it's demonic? I mean, there's one third of the angels are demonic. The other two thirds are going for Yahweh. There's more for us than against us. So I want you to, let's reclaim that, number one. 31 October, it seems to be a day that God marked and has vaved. Just saying. Anyone born on the 31st of October? Did you know? How special are you guys? You nailed it. See? That's what it's all about. That is so prophetic. All right. How's our time? We've got to keep tracking. So, Genesis 26. Hans was here this morning and, well, we're going there again. I love how that sort of works in this house. Did you know that? Do you know that? No, we don't share notes. We don't have time. But God just seems to line things up. Genesis 26 and verse 20. Genesis 26 verse 19. Okay. Here's a word. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered what? A water well with fresh water. Everyone go, ah. Verse 20, but the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Esek because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one. Also, he named it Sitnah. He then moved on from there and dug the third well. Everyone say, it's time to dig the third well. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. And he named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. From there, he goes to where? Beersheba. That night, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you. I will increase you in numbers of descendants for the sake of your servant Abraham. Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. Then he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. There's three things that are going on here for Isaac. He hits the first well, Esek, and he meets with something called contention. Everyone say contention. Esek. The second well they dig is called Sitnah, which means opposition or defiance. And then they move on. I want you to underline this. Now sorry, verse 22, he moved on from there. Here's the word of the Lord from for you and for us. They moved on from there. They moved on from there. Whenever we, in our own journey, press in for the breakthrough, we can guarantee that we are going to hit conflict. Because there's always conflict over the water. The water represents the Holy Spirit. The water represents freedom. The water represents life. There is always conflict over the water. But should we be worried about that conflict? Put your hand on your tummy. I am a well. And because I am a well, I will evoke conflict. Now all the kids are there going, oh, that's going to work well with mom and dad. No, it doesn't. I'm talking about the spirit realm. Where there is water, there is conflict. But then we move on because we know how to dig wells. We've broken through. We've learned in our own personal prayer life how to pray. David takes out a lion, takes out a bear. It's preparation for what? Goliath. The next well is the well of opposition. Now, this means a fierce contention. This is to shut you down. The enemy has one plan. Let's say it together. Shut me down. Shut us down. But the key here is not to get caught up with this conflict and not to be discouraged by the opposition. But what are you supposed to do? Move on from there. Because the third well, Rehoboth, is the well that says, you have now come into a spacious place. And it's a spacious place so that you can flourish. Once we move through the conflict, once we move through the opposition, then we come into the promise and we come in to the place, the spacious place for flourishing. Who's in for this? Let's read Psalm 16, verse 5. God's heart for you is not to stay at conflict, but to teach you how to dig wells. Everyone say, I'm a well digger. Just because I face conflict and opposition doesn't change what I'm good at. Just say, I'm good at digging wells. I'm good at not giving up. How good is that? Let's say that. I'm good at not giving up. I'm still standing after all these years. You can't sing that in church, Andrew. That is not a Christian song. Psalm 16, verse 5. This is cool. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. Does that sound a bit like a vav? You have made my lot secure. Verse 6. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Let's say that together. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. When you believe that in your heart, you're going to push on from the conflict and the opposition that you've been under. Keep on going. Don't give up. It wasn't on the first day that Jesus had the resurrection victory. It wasn't on the second day that he had the victory. It was on the third day that he rose again. Don't forget the third well. Don't forget that there is more. Judges 4:17. I'm not going to go into it too long, but we see another experience of the Vav. And there's a young lady called JL. Do we have any young ladies in the house? JL is a great role model for you. She nailed it. Judges 4:21, but Jael picked up a tent peg and a hammer, and she went quietly to Sisera, the leader of the enemy's armies. She went quietly to him while he was fast asleep, and she drove the peg through his temple. Is that enough? There's more. Into the ground. So girls, don't do a half job. Put it into the ground all the way. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I haven't quite joined all the dots up on this, but I'm just going to share it briefly because I just got whacked with one thought this morning and I haven't done the research. But I'll just give you my chicken scratch. I was meditating on Jesus being the Vav and Jesus being Vav'd. And when in the Bible, in the early books, the Lord said to the children of Israel, when you have a slave, when you have a Hebrew slave, at the end of the 6 years, you are to let them go. At the end of the 6 years, you let all your slaves go. Masters, let the slaves go. But then there's this little comment. If they don't want to go and they love you, it says that, if they love you, they love the master, they are allowed to come back to the master and say, Master, you have freed me, but I choose not to go. I yield of my own free will to bind myself to you forever. And then it's written there a really interesting thing that the master was to do. Josiah, I want you to come here. Now, you have served me so well for the last 6 years, and you've come back, and you've chosen freely of your own free choice. You want to submit to me, your boss, forever. Is this right?
Yes.
Just for the skit. It's not in true life. Can you do the acting thing? Can you do it? Sort of. Okay. All right. I'll fill in the gaps. You just nod and shake. So you, out of your own free will, you've come back to serve me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we have to do what Yahweh told us and taught us to do, and that is you've got to come with me up to the door frame. Let's come up here. All right. I want you to stand here in the door frame. And what we're going to do is we're going to take his earlobe. We'll pretend it's that kind of timber in the door frame, right? And we're going to put his earlobe up against the door frame. And we're going to take a nail or an awl. And it said, nail his ear to the doorpost of the door. Man, you manage pain really well. You're like a smiley guy. And now we've invented ear piercing. Give me a hug. You're awesome. Take a seat. Interesting story. So that in that servant's flesh was a permanent marking and scar, beholden to the fact that he chose to become, out of his own free will, my slave, my servant. Oh, I want you to think of Jesus becoming a slave for us, coming to the Father. And the Father says, you are free, son. And he says, no, Dad, there is something in your heart that's so much bigger. I will bind myself to you. I will be pierced. for you and for them, my brothers and my sisters. Oh, hills are alive. My hills are alive. Jesus is vav'd, but becomes a vav. And he becomes nailed to the doorpost that he is the door of, to open a way for us to come. I was thinking about the third well, and I was trying, this is me trying to join up the dots. There's three nails. There's three vavs. Might have been four, I don't know, but I'm just going to go with three. And this is what I thought. What did Jesus vav on the cross? What did he drive? What was being driven into him for you and me? And I thought of this. One day, I will crush Satan underneath our feet. But in the garden, it said that his heel will be bruised, but he will wat the enemy's head. He will crush the head of the enemy. So I want you to imagine that under Jesus' feet is the head of Sisera, being Jael'd, which means Yah-El, the Lord is God, for me, for you. He nailed it. So number one, something. He destroyed, it says, Jesus came to what the works of the enemy? Destroy. So number one, well. Number one, well. I don't know which one it is, conflict or opposition, but it's one of them. Then I started to think about the left and the right hand. And I'm like, there's something on this. The left hand in the Bible speaks of judgment. Remember it says, and he called all of the sheep and the goats, and some were brought to his right, some were brought to his left. Now, this is not to do with politics, okay? But as I read the Bible, the left speaks of weakness, because normally our right hand is stronger than our left, but all the lefties out there, there's a cool guy in the Bible called Ehud. He was a left-handed, and he gets praised above them all. So left-handers, all in the room, why don't you go, yes, we're a special crew. But what it's representative is that usually the left side is weaker than the right side. It often speaks of judgment. And if there's going to be a dealing out of wrath or judgment, it normally comes from the left side. That's how they see it. So here's the other thing. I'm thinking, what is Jesus dealing judgment on? He's dealing judgment on the sin that has created the conflict. And he is being vav'd in order to destroy the judgment for you and me. So now we can boldly become before the throne. Why? Because he was vav'd. He took the judgment that I should have taken. What does the right hand represent? Well, I'm glad you asked. The right hand represents fruitfulness and favor. It is Rehoboth. It is the third well. It is the place. Jesus just doesn't deal with your enemy, doesn't deal with your sin. He says, you can have all the goodies. Everything in my right hand is favor. It's all for you. So he vavs that for you, which is reflected in Psalm 16 and Psalm 119, which says, you have brought me into a. That's his heart for you. That's the well that he's wanting you to get, because you can't get there till you've dealt with the devil and you've dealt with your sin. Then you can start living in the victorious life of the Holy Spirit. The overflow. Anyone? I've been saying it for 12 months now to my clients. You need to come out of the red water of competition and into the blue skies of opportunity. Because when you're in the red water of competition, it's a bloodbath. Jesus calls us out of the red blood competition and conflict. And he says, there's some blue sky for you. Do you know what heaven is? A spacious place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, because heaven is a wonderful place. So, turn to your neighbor, and what are you going to do? Yes. High five. Nailed it. We've got 4 minutes. Jesus. You know what? We have had an amazing year this year, haven't we? This year, the Lord has done some amazing stuff in this house, and it has been amazing. It, you know, from all of Hans's number plate prophecies, just how the Lord's been working with our young people, seeing youth takeovers and all that just become so amazing, and just seeing what the Lord's doing in each of our hearts with 24/7 prayer. Did you hear what Wendy said before? Like, we did that. We've had the breakthrough because you guys were praying. What I felt, and last week Aaron shared on Area 51. It's a great message. I really feel in my heart that that verse in Genesis 26, move on from there. The Lord is saying we need to move on from what defines us in sin, which is conflict. We need to move on from the challenge of sin in our life. You say, but Andrew, it's hard, it's difficult. Yes, but Jesus barbed it for you on the cross. So you've got to get that him in your heart. He will barb you. Jesus will barb you. He will pierce your heart. That's what he does. He is one of these. How can we be unchanged when we've been barbed by God? But he also wants to deal with our enemy. Jesus before Pilate, man, he's passing all the tests. He overcomes his own temptation, wow, and he overcomes the enemy, wow, and guess what? He brings us into a spacious place. So as we come to this stage of our journey, we're all asking that, Lord, what's next? What's next? We've had Jubilee. It's been amazing. We're out of debt. Did you even hear that announcement the other week? We have, this building has been out of debt, but the church itself has had other debt on land across the way. So before Jubilee, the leadership said, we are getting out of debt, like zero debt. And that happened just before Jubilee. Amazing. All these amazing things have happened amongst us this year. What is next? And I want to remember the word that was given to Papa Dave and Mama Rory at Toma Place. And do you remember when we were over there and Pastor Tony Caminetti said, as you retrace the Lord in your history, you will discover the blueprint of his future plans for you. That's what we're doing right now. And this is what I wanted to charge you with as a church. In the next couple of days, get a stake, a stick, a drumstick, a knitting needle, a pencil, a pen. Doesn't matter. As long as it's straight and sharp and can be hammered in, and write something down. And it's not so much what's written on the stake as what's written in your heart and what you are going to vav, which means you're going to come into absolute agreement with, and you're going to drive it into the ground with a hammer and put it so far down, because that's what this church did at the gates of 19 Toma Place 20-something years ago. And that vav is still in the ground. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And there was another one around, you shall love one another. Do you have anything to nail? Is there anything still in your life? Is there any promise still not fulfilled that you want to see manifest? Three of you. The rest of you can go on to heaven right now because you've made it. Go on. Off you go. Is there any unanswered promises in this house? Are there any promises that God has given you to your family, to the future generations that have not yet manifested? Has God promised you to be debt free and you're still in debt? Vav it. This is the moment. Do it on Tuesday the 31st, anytime before now, but that's the day that you're aligning with a pattern in heaven. I don't even understand, but we're just going to do it. Who's in with me? Let's stand. Let's stand. Man. Even the words, the final words of what Jesus says, it is actually the end of the vav. Dunk, 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 dunk. It's nailed. It is secured. It is established. It has come to pass. Let's just take a minute and a moment before the Lord today as the worship team just find a song in the key of H flat. To a Gary Morgan.
There's no such thing as a H.
Thank you, Lord. I just want you to lift your hands to the Lord. Jesus is a vav. He became a vav. He is a vav. He vaved for you, but he wants to make you a vav. A little vav. A little vav. And he wants to nail you into something. He wants to drive you into something of his Father's heart. If I could echo what Jesus would love to do, he would love to take you and vav you into the Father's heart and give you the third well, a spacious place. A place where your enemy can't touch you and there's no conflict anymore. That sounds like heaven, right? What did Jesus pray? Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's in him a complete vaving. Just put your hand on your heart and just begin to say, thank you, Lord, that you have secured me. The boundary lines have fallen pleasantly for me. I'm good at not giving up because the breakthrough is coming. You are my breakthrough, Jesus. You are my vav. I want to become more like you, Jesus. Teach me how to be a bondservant. Teach me to love you like you love me. In Jesus' name. We're going to enter into a bit of worship time and